You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, welcome to a very awesome episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
And my name is Rob, and this is episode number 473. Thanks, guys, for hanging out with us. We hope that you're staying warm.
Definitely. And today's podcast, we're going to be talking about all the things that you need to know to fly in cold weather. Now, I've seen other YouTube videos out there with other people, including Tom, yes, on the cold weather tips. And there's just so much missing that I wanted to go over with you. I also wanted to explain some of the science behind this so you can utilize this information in other scenarios that may present potential issues and problems to you. Why is it important? Well, if you crash one time, the liability is going to be through the roof and potentially you could lose your business. So today we're going to be talking about the cold weather flying tips, things that you should know in regards to your batteries, in regards to altitude and pressure, and even the dew point spread. Do you know what the dew point spread is, Rob?
Tell me, please.
I'll tell you later, just like all of you are wondering yourself, because the dew point spread is going to tell you whether you're going to build moisture on your props and potentially lose lift, which is something you don't see on the other YouTube videos. So stay tuned. This is our normal podcast. We're going to go through all of the cold weather tips that you need to know in order to fly, but also we're going to go into the business tips for working your drone business in the winter time, because there is a lot that you can be doing. You could be working on your business, or you could be working in your business. What do those strategies look like? We're going to be talking about all of that today. But just a quick special thank you to you guys, everyone who has reviewed the podcast, subscribed to us on YouTube, and given us the favor of sharing this podcast with someone else. But also a huge thank you to our sponsors like Drone Base. If you are starting a drone business, you want to turn that passion into profit, there couldn't be a better place to do it than Drone Base. Check out go.dronebase.com/drone-you and check out all the jobs that are in your area, from roof inspections to real estate to quick little pano missions that should take you 10 to 15 minutes. Either way, it's a great place for you to start out and fill your time with drone-related jobs. Well, so much going on. Rob, play the question. This whole podcast is about a question that we got from someone just like you, someone who loves to fly. Let's hear it.
Hey, guys. Just a quick question here. Just wanted to see what type of things typically to expect during the winter months. We're coming up quickly here around that time of year, so just wanted to see how and if that will affect business. I am starting up a company, so I just wanted to see, at this time of year, what's that like and what kind of things can I expect? Thanks very much for your time. You guys do a great job.
Thanks, Jolie. Appreciate the question. AskDroneU.com if you have a question. We'd love to hear all of your questions. We know you have them, and we know that if you're thinking of it, so is somebody else, probably a lot of other people. So get your questions in as soon as you can.
Definitely. It's quiz time, Rob.
Quiz time.
We've done these cold weather
Ilker
tips
just
before.
Showed up just in time for the quiz.
Perfect. All right. Well, Ilker can partake in the quiz as well. So quiz question number one, what do you remember cold tips wise that we talked about last year?
What do I remember? Well, I know that batteries is probably the biggest issue.
That is correct.
So we got to keep those warm. We got to actually be very, very proactive about keeping those warm. I would say maybe our props, they can get a little bit more brittle in the cold, so you got to be careful of that.
Definitely.
I don't know. What else?
Man, you actually hit the nail on the head. Batteries are definitely a big issue. When you're flying in the cold, you have to understand that the way that batteries work, that chemical reaction slows down in lithium polymer batteries. So it's kind of counterintuitive to think, well, why is the cold a problem for my battery when it heats up? Mm-hmm. Well, essentially, it's creating slower chemical reactions. So if you try to jackrabbit your drone and pitch it up really fast, punch it around, you could have a voltage drop because batteries in the cold do not produce linear voltage over time. It's more of a hardline regressional cliff. So
you want to warm it up so it doesn't do that? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. So tip number one is keep your batteries warm. Warm them up. DJI says to keep them up to 25 degrees centigrade. That's 77 degrees Fahrenheit for all of you that live in the United States. When you're flying in the cold, keeping those batteries warm is really, really important. Now, there are different ways to keep your batteries warm. The only drone that will actually warm up the batteries prior to flight is the Inspire 2. So if you're flying an Inspire 2, you don't even need to worry about this. But I still recommend you keep the batteries warm in storage. So if you're keeping them, you know, in your house and then you warm up your car and move the drone out to your car as it's warming up, make sure that, again, it stays in a warm environment. But, you know, a lot of people are asking me, like, Paul, what about gloves? Should I just wear gloves without fingertips to keep my hands warm? How do I keep the batteries warm? There's a couple different ways. Mm-hmm. The Inspire 1 has a battery warmer. In fact, you can see the link below in the YouTube video if you're watching via YouTube. If you're watching via iTunes or whatever, you can check out in the description. There's links to hand warmers. Mm-hmm. I've got links to a glove that fits over your remote and you put your hands in it, which I think is really cool because having that dexterity in your fingertips is really important.
Yeah, that's handy.
For smooth cinematic motions, it is really handy.
No pun intended.
There's also a battery warmer, DJI battery warmer, that I put the link to. So gloves, battery warmer, and hand warmers to actually, if you keep the batteries in your pockets with a hand warmer, keep them nice and warm if you are moving around. But DJI put out a new recommendation this year. They said, if you are flying outside in the cold, make sure to hover around actually for 1 minute just to get the battery warmed up and fired up.
And get the drone warmed up and fired up as
That's definitely correct.
Gotta get those juices flowing. Not that there's oil or anything, but nonetheless, juices.
You're warming up the connections.
Yeah.
So that being said too, I've seen a lot of people say, well, can you fly in the rain or the snow? And the answer is yes. Brushless motors can actually work underwater. They can work just fine underwater. The problem that goes out is over time, the water gets in the bearings and screws up the bearings, so then the motor doesn't actually move smoothly.
Well, and also probably the electronics. You don't want the electronics getting wet.
So that's the key, or the ESC, is the electronic speed controllers. But in most drones, like the Phantom 4 here, they're completely enclosed, so they can't even get wet unless you physically open the drone or submerge it in water. So I want to talk about that too, and we're going to get more to that later. But you know, the second tip in avoiding, you know, water and moisture in the bird, you're right, Rob. It's just the electronics that you have to worry about. So when you're flying in the cold, it's really a good idea to have a landing pad so that you don't, you know, wash up or use the prop wash to really push up any water into the camera or anything else.
Sure.
And a lot of people have asked me the question, well, can you fly in the snow? As a hobbyist, yes, you can fly in the snow. But if you have a 107 license like myself, you have to remember there are weather minimums, right? The visibility minimums, right?
Yeah.
So 3 statute miles of visibility in order to fly. So can it be snowing and you still have that? Yes, but if it's snowing pretty hard, 3 miles of visibility may not be there.
Well, I can imagine if it's snowing really hard, I don't know what you're going to be doing out there anyways, other than probably practicing, just having a good time, right? Because number one, your drone's white generally.
Yep.
So it's your visibility of how far away you can see your drone is going to be much closer.
True.
You're not going to be able to get much in the form of good video or images, right?
Well, and that's another thing to talk about too, because just like if you are, have you ever been to the Bahamas in the middle of the summer and you're in a nice air conditioned room and then you go outside and it's humid and your glass fogs up?
Yep.
You know, we have some of those same similar issues with drones.
Right.
But there are so many other issues. And you talk about, can you get good footage in the snow really? And people have been like, Paul, what's the secret to getting good snowy footage? I've seen your snowy footage. The secret is flying in reverse, because then you get two things that happen. The snow doesn't hit the camera because you're flying in reverse.
Right.
And then also the snow is exaggerated in the camera because of the prop wash that's now moving ahead and beyond the camera. So it's, you know,
a cool effect actually.
Yeah. So another tip you don't see on YouTube right there, fly in reverse if you're doing video. As far as photos go, you know, I would highly recommend you use an ND filter still, just because you're getting so much reflectivity off of the snow itself. You know, think of it just like a bright day. You want to use an ND filter just like a bright day. Something I saw on Facebook too, Rob, that really kind of surprised me is that, you know, they say, oh, well, don't fly into the clouds. You should never fly in the clouds because, well, it's illegal to fly in the clouds, number one.
It's too high. Is that what you're saying?
Number one, it's too high. And number two, you have to stay 500 feet below the clouds. So
literally?
Literally, that's in the weather minimums, yes. So when this guy on YouTube is like, oh, get right next to the clouds, you can't do that. That's illegal. So, and more people are getting busted now. I mean, like, I'm getting phone calls like, oh, that guy I told you about and I was thinking about calling the FAA on him. Well, someone else did and they shut his business down. So, like, it's happening now. They're starting to get to that point of enforcement. But the reason that moisture is an issue, the reason that you shouldn't fly into clouds is because you can get moisture buildup on the props. If you get moisture buildup on the props, just like in an aircraft when you're at the airport and they're de-icing the plane, if you get moisture, you can lose lift. And if you lose lift, what happens to the drone, Rob?
Goes to the ground.
That is very correct.
Bummer.
And not in a controlled way. So how do you know if the moisture in the air is actually going to be a problem? Well, something to look at and what we call is the dew point spread. So what's the dew point versus what is the temperature? If they're within 5 degrees, the chances of you having moisture on your propellers is extremely high. It also means that there's probably going to be some fog buildup. There's going to be a lot of moisture in the air. The air is going to be saturated. So when another YouTuber has said, keep your props dry, that's a great idea. But you have to be really careful. If you see dew on the grass, you see frost everywhere, you've got to be really, really careful to fly. Now, so we've talked about props being dry. I would say the next tip is if you're flying at a high altitude, you have to remember that this battery issue of the cold and the high altitude actually exaggerate your flight time endurance, and they exaggerate it to the negative. So you're going to get even less flight time. Now, some of the new drones actually have high altitude props, so you can get high altitude props and get a little bit better flight time. But normally, if you are flying in the cold and you're flying above, say, 3,000 feet in elevation, you're going to have significantly decreased flight time than someone living in California or Florida. So, we've talked about batteries. They're the biggest problem, right, Rob?
Apparently.
I know, I'm just sitting here talking and you're
it's all good. It's all good stuff.
One of the last tips, land sooner than normal. If you're used to landing at, say, 30% or 25% of your battery, remember, the battery has a steep cliff drop-off. So you're going to want to land sooner than normal. I would recommend even 40%. But the way that I teach all my students is to always land when you're at 3.6 volts loaded. So you put your voltage on screen, 3.6. The first time you hit 3.6, you should be saying to yourself, it's probably time to get ready to come home. And you probably got a minute or two of flight time after that that you're going to be able to fly. So 3.6 volts is a great, like, cautionary tale. Hey, battery is getting low. I need to check this, and I should probably come home soon. But if your battery goes below 3.3 volts, you should not fly anymore at all. Bring the bird down as fast as possible. I've seen so many people have voltage drops and lose their drone. It go into auto land. It can cause so many problems. So just generally when flying in the cold, expect less time. Expect a lot less endurance, a lot less speed. You're not going to be able to go as fast. You can't be punchy because you could get a voltage drop as well. Flying in reverse will give you some great shots. Keeping the batteries warm is absolutely imperative right up until you're ready to fly. And also making sure your batteries are charged. Remember, they discharge over time. So you really should charge your batteries within, you know, 12 to 48 hours before the flight to make sure you have a fully charged battery, keeping them warm. One way that I keep batteries warm is I actually put them on the defroster of my truck and keep the defroster running to keep the batteries warm. Oh man, that's a lot of tips right there. And that's gonna be a lot of information for people to process, all those cold weather tips. So, you know, batteries suck, keep them warm, less flight time. So I think that's really imperative.
That's your list?
That's my list. But, you know, there's so much to talk about now when it comes to your business.
Absolutely.
So where do we start with our business, Rob?
Where do we start with our business?
In the cold.
In the cold. First of all, turn on the heater.
I think Ilker had an idea. I don't know. I don't know if he was raising his hand to say something.
What's your...
or ask a question. Or like... I was just gonna add. So Ilker, our producer here, says, you know, one other thing to watch out is the battery on your tablet or phone. If you are using a phone as your monitor, it's really imperative to keep that warm too, because just like Ilker said, he said in the winters in Manhattan when he would be walking down the street with no shoes and socks on, that, you know, very often his phone would be at 70% and then die out of nowhere.
Which apparently was
minutes.
The least of his problems.
Definitely.
If he was walking around.
He walked uphill both ways.
That's right.
I don't know how you do that, but
and no stocking for his bald head.
Yeah, that's true. So he was really cold and had a phone that died fast.
Man, that was rough, Ilker. I'm glad you're out here with us now.
Maybe that's why I dress up so warm all the time.
Sweaters in July. It's been the weirdest thing.
It
but
really
now
has.
Now
I
it all makes sense.
I thought it was like a Turkish thing or something. No, that's not. It's a bald thing.
Anyways, but your business, what are you going to do during the winter months for your business to keep it going, to keep it strong, to keep growing?
There are
actually a lot of things.
There are. Like, you can work on your business or in your business.
Sure.
Are you working on the strategies, routines, scaling your business, or are you working on getting more business in the future and fostering relationships?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that you can spend more time doing is improving your systems, right? Including things like your workflow or the way that you communicate with people, setting up different methodologies of delivering content that are more efficient. So you can, those, when we talk about improving your systems, those are the kinds of things that we're talking about. And theoretically, you're going to have more time to do that in the winter months because you're going to be less busy flying. If that's not true for you, awesome.
Yeah.
Great. Then you just have to find other times to spend time improving your systems. But that's definitely one thing. I like to look at it as an opportunity to just be that much better and get that much more ahead when the weather starts to warm up, and now you're more efficient in your operation and you're going to be able to move ahead of other people because of that.
Yeah.
So put in that time working on your business and you'll be glad you did.
Definitely. What do you think is better? Do you think working on your business, like figuring out scheduling, figuring out systems, delegating work, do you think writing all that down, creating like literally write like systems, like you've done the systems already, but now you're writing them down. Mm-hmm. You're saying, how can I do this better? Do you think that's more important than setting up relationships with people now, setting up presentations, working with groups, associations and whatnot? What do you think takes precedent?
That's one of those things where I don't think you can pick one. I mean, they're both equally important. They're both very, very important. And obviously, it's something else that you can be doing during these times because you'll have more time, again, theoretically, is networking. And you're just going to have to look around, see what events are going on. Heck, even at Christmas parties, go to parties that you get invited to or maybe that you're not even invited to and talk to people and see what's going on. Look for opportunities to spend more time with realtors if that's your gig, or at construction industry events or whatever it is that you're doing, you theoretically have more time to go do those things. So yeah, maybe even carve out time to be making calls, calling people with ideas on things that they can do for their business. They're looking for the same kinds of things that you are in terms of how can I keep my business going. And if you give them a good idea, particularly when they're really, really looking for a good idea, they're going to appreciate that. So just staying connected, I guess, is what we're talking about. But yeah, I don't know that I could pick one over the other, Paul. They're both really, really important.
Do you think that there are any things that we could do over the holiday season? Like, for example, reaching out. You know, a lot of people do those Christmas cards and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But I had a client who every year would, and I was the courier for this client. This was when I was in college again, one of those college jobs. And I would go out and buy $50 gift certificates at all these different restaurants. And mm-hmm. there was no rhyme or reason. I was driving all over town just to buy gift cards. And I finally asked the attorney, like, why. His name was Mr. Maestas. And he was just like, it's a way for me to tell all of my clients that I genuinely appreciate them and I want them to have a meal on me, mm-hmm. just to say thank you.
Absolutely. In fact, sitting on my desk is a list of people that we at Drone U need to make sure we recognize during this season.
Wow.
So we are going to do that because there have been people that have contributed a ton to Drone U and to the community that are not formally a part of Drone U, even though we think of them as a part of Drone U. So yeah, absolutely. Spend some time. And if you have the time, and a lot of your clients are local, we've done this in other businesses, you be the one to take those gifts, drive around, spend a day, whatever, and go say hello and give them the gift. Tell them you appreciate them. Tell them you look forward to working with them in the coming year, whatever it is that you're going to say, be cordial.
Yeah, definitely be cordial. Now, let me ask this. What about a marketing stunt?
Uh-oh.
No. It could be done very intelligently. Like, for example, there was this no-name company on Channel 4 yesterday that was hosting, I want to say it was like a gift drive.
Mm-hmm.
So they were hosting a gift drive, and then if anyone bought their product, that they were going to then give another match donation amount to this specific charity.
Right.
So the commercial was to get people to come down for the gift drive and also say, you know, hey, if at all you feel that our services are valuable to you, we're going to match the amount you spend with us to, or not, they didn't say that. They said they were going to match some amount to give to this charity.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like the whole Tom's shoe, like, you know, buy a pair of shoes from us, we give a pair to someone else.
Right.
Do you think marketing sense could really help someone in a smaller community? Like here in Albuquerque, we're a smaller city. So if we were like, Drone U is flying gifts to children on Christmas Eve, like, I'm sure the FAA would be like, oh no, oh no. So, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, definitely. I mean, certainly being creative in your marketing is always a good thing, winter months or not. So yeah, I mean, definitely. If you've got good ideas, go for it.
Or what about this? What if you send an email out to your list and you were to say, we are giving to this toy drive this year, and if you match or if you donate, we're going to match that donation, and please just reach out to us, blah, blah, blah. It puts you in people's mind. It keeps them fresh in, you know, in their mind.
Definitely.
And I think that's really important. So I also think it's important, if you really want to get on people's good side, throw a Christmas party.
Christmas parties can be a lot of fun. Absolutely. We've done client appreciation things again for other businesses in the past. And it's really, really nice to be with clients in sort of that casual environment where you can not be so focused on business, because typically you're talking to clients about business, right?
Yeah.
So get it into a personal level.
Yeah.
And you'll be amazed at how that will improve the business level relationship. So
true.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the other thing that just came to mind is I think of like roofers or other construction people in the winter months, just to kind of keep cash flow on some level moving, they'll do some stuff for a little bit less money.
Yeah.
So that's another thing that you can do, is to your best clients, maybe offer them a pretty substantial discount, 20, 25%, whatever it is, to do some stuff for them.
Definitely.
Because you've got more time to do it.
Definitely. I think that's a good idea. So we've talked about working on your business, talked about working in your business, on and in. I think Rob's made it really clear it's really important to do both, because you need to look back. You need to have some self-examination on what worked and what didn't. How can you improve your systems from acquiring the client to delivering to the client, to following up with the client, to then bringing them back on as a repeat customer? I think that's really important.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also really important to grow your network. Now, one of the biggest things, one of the biggest key habits of successful people is having that self examination. What am I doing? How can I do it better? And being willing to change to become the best possible person that you can become. Because if you can become better and better, chances are your pockets are going to get bigger and bigger, but also you're going to be doing it for the right reasons, which is going to make your heart happier. And that makes every day better and better and easier to live and enjoy the people who we have around us and be grateful for the time that we get to spend with them, because that's what it's really all about, right?
Yeah, and that rubs off on other people.
Totally.
Including clients, which, by the way, working on your business, interestingly, in the drone space would include flying.
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
Yep.
So you get to go have fun, but I would consider that working on your business.
Honey, I have to go to work today. Whoa, what are you doing?
Yeah,
I'm going
exactly.
to the field to practice for 2 hours. Shut up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you're an NFL receiver, it's fun to go work on your business and go
yeah.
catch balls, right?
Yeah.
So same thing. Get out there and practice. You're going to have more time to do so. And you can put into practice all these different tips that Paul gave in terms of cold weather flying, and make sure you're doing all those things right, obviously. But get out there and fly. And just think, if you can get to that buttery smooth footage in the wintertime with your fingers cold and all those kinds of things, imagine in the summer and the spring and so forth. Piece of cake.
You know what I'm going to invent?
Hmm.
Sorry, I just had an ADD moment. I'm going to invent this little baggie that's like a fanny pack
mm-hmm.
where you can put little heat warmers in there.
Yeah.
And then you're like a quarterback.
Right.
You know, like you put your hands in there when you're not flying, you keep it warm. And then you've got like this satchel for your remote to go into. So it's like, boom, and then you put your hands there, client's talking, you're like,
well, then you could just add a couple little slots for batteries on it.
Oh, wow, now we're getting intense. I like this.
So that's all heated, right?
Totally.
And it's heating your midsection, which is a good thing. All right.
So are you saying that I may lose weight from this? Because if that's the case, I'm all over it.
It'll be designed by tomorrow.
Anyway, guys, that's going to do it for us today. If you found the podcast useful, if you found this podcast to be valuable, please share it with someone or on someone's feed, on someone's Facebook page, on Twitter, on Pinterest, wherever you do your thing, on Instagram. The point here, guys, is that we can grow this industry and we can grow our freedom to fly if we are responsible and demonstrate safe flying. Kevin Morris said it on the FAA webinar last week. These rules are flexible. If they see good, responsible flying, we could have more freedoms. If they see stupid flying, people like flying over your local parade or whatnot, you know who you are, that's not going to help us. That's actually going to limit our ability to fly in the future. They could create more regulations to really cause more issues. No one wants that. So please do us and yourself and others a favor and share this podcast to grow education, grow learning, so we can increase our freedom to fly.
Hear, hear.
On that bombshell, that's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob.
This is Ask Drone U.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.